Ross,
Yes.
I'm not sure you're going to get the Board of Education people right away. They may join after, but I think they had a meeting tonight.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
David already had mentioned, thank you for the reminder, Jill. David had already mentioned that, so I know that Ashley and Rhea and David won't be here, so we'll get started with, the usual stuff on the agenda. Let me just call the meeting to order. It's a little bit late. And so calling the meeting to order, it is 7:17, and we have present in the room Bob Mora, Tyler Egner, and myself, Ross Lally. And online, I see from the board that we have Amanda. And I know the other folks from Board of Ed, as we mentioned, will not be here. And let's see, we have from Board of Selectmen side of the government, we have Jill Collins, we have Jim Rupert, our town manager, administrator. Yeah, since we didn't vote for a manager, but whatever, he's our town administrator. Sorry about that, sir. And Jill Collins is our CFO. And I don't see any members of the public other than the community voice, but that is next on our agenda, public participation. So if there just happens to be anybody out there is nobody in the room, I would ask them to please raise their hand and comment. You can raise a virtual hand or a physical hand. Okay, I don't having seeing no public comment. I would go on to item three with a discussion with our Chelsea Groton Bank representatives. And Jill, are they dialing in or?
They're supposed to. I talked to
This is.
Harry. Oh, go
Oh,
ahead.
sorry, Jill. This is Alexis Khan from Chelsea Groton. We sorry, there was just we were there was some confusion about getting the Zoom details. I apologize.
Hello, hello.
So
We're
if you
here.
could,
Sorry about that.
That's
okay.
okay.
No, thank you. And if you could just identify yourself for our bird clerk, board clerk, and just get my mouth in order for our board clerk, Mary Johnson. So if you two, and well, for the rest of us who don't know you necessarily either, if you could please identify yourself so we know who we're talking with.
Alexis, after you.
Sure. Alexis Khan, cash management sales manager at Chelsea Groton Bank.
I'm Harry Colonis, business development officer at Chelsea Groton Bank.
Harry and Alexis, did the Zoom not the link I sent you not work, or do you want me to send it again?
If you want to try sending another one, that would be great.
Okay, I can do that. I'll do that right now.
I think it would be easier if we saw your smiling faces. And that way, if you had any,
Sounds good.
and if you had anything you wanted to present, visually, that would help with that too, because it's otherwise we're imagining what you're talking about over the phone.
Sure.
So you want to, we'll see, give you guys a couple minutes to get the new link and see if that works, because
Want to do the minutes while we're waiting?
yeah, while you're doing, that's a good idea. I'm going to move on to the approval of the minutes for a September 18th regular meeting while you guys are trying to dial in again, and we will come back to you. So we have to do a little bit of tap dance because our Board of Education partners are having their own meeting and are going to come after that. So
Great.
Chair, I move the adoption of the minutes of let's see.
September.
September 18th.
I'll second.
To approve that presented.
So,
Thank you.
motion made by Robert Morris, seconded by Tyler Egner. Discussion before we move on to a vote. I have no comments. Anybody here? Amanda, anything? Amanda is shaking her head no. So then I will entertain a vote from our voting members. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So we have any abstentions? Me, I'm not voting and not a voting member. And then that means there's no Negatives. So motion passes unanimously by our three voting members present. And it looks like we're starting to get pictures. So we can sort of loop back to chat with our banking partners. And I see Harry is all set to go. He is standing up at his desk, rearing to go. And looks like Alexis is here.
I am admittedly, we had an event, work-related event. I'm actually in the car still. I can turn it on. I'm just seated in my car sitting here. So
you're safe.
I apologize.
You're parked, I hope.
I'm parked.
I've had other meetings where, like, with our church, with our minister, always went to a place where there's Wi-Fi because Mooch often would do it from his car because he lived up in Massachusetts. But anyway. So the reason we asked you folks here is because we wanted to see what we could do to get a snapshot of where we are in, you know, basically in your relationship and our relationship, you know, together in the with the town of Bolton. And particularly, where do we go from here with interest rates? As much as you can help us out with that, including whatever benchmarks you use. Somebody has to shut off their phone. Let me mute the phone. Okay, let's try it again. Harry?
Is that better?
I muted the other phone number, which is now hung up. But somebody else is still on two devices because you're getting an echo.
Oh. That's weird.
I was having that before because I have my laptop going for something I want to present, and I wound up having to actually mute the speaker on my personal laptop in addition to
the phone number's
muting
gone
Zoom.
Now.
So. Sounds like okay. Okay. Let's try.
How about now?
No echo.
Any better?
Yep.
Okay. For some reason, I can't hear you now.
We haven't said anything yet.
Can you hear us now? Can't hear us?
I don't think so.
I'm able to hear you. I'll just confirm that I can hear. So it's the audio, I think. I'm not sure if Harry's just having an issue.
I was going to say, Harry, you might check to just see if you muted your the audio on Zoom. Or
he was hearing audio through the phone, and now that he doesn't have the phone, the audio isn't on. That's the issue.
Oh,
I believe.
Yeah, go.
Mary, can you hear us?
I can, but
there you go.
Is it echoing?
Nope, not now.
Nope.
Okay, super.
Good.
You're on.
The wonders of modern technology. It's beautiful when it works, and otherwise it drives you crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's painful sometimes.
You probably didn't hear the question.
So anyway, you didn't hear my question before. It was just to go over, you know, where we stand in our relationship. Where do we go from here? And one of the concerns that we as a finance committee had, particularly, is the future of interest rates. And, you know, how often do you change them based on what benchmarks? So that will give us a little vision into, you know, the future and our planning processes. We're starting our budget planning process here in another month or so. And so we want to take that into account as we go forward, because the interest income has been quite important to us. With the higher interest rates, it's like $400,000 or $500,000, which is a good chunk for a relatively small, you know, budget as our town has. And that's why we'd like to explore this with you and what you think of the future, if there's any options that, you know, work within the municipal government context. And again, Tyler or Bob or Amanda, I don't want to speak for you guys.
Right now, that's pretty much my questions. So maybe if you can just give us an overview, and if we have further questions, we can ask you then.
You know, and also if there's options that we can discuss, if there's any, you know, changing to the agreement that we have you that might be beneficial as conditions change. And again, we can't approve it here, but it's information that can be provided to the Board of Selectmen. Yeah. And since they're the ones who ultimately would decide upon any of our recommendations from the Finance Committee.
Sure. No, this is great. And it's a pleasure to meet with you on a regular basis and go over the relationship, which we, of course, value. And as your concerns are aired to us, we bring it back to our, you know, senior vice presidents and review the structure of the account, the interest rates. And we are very aware that you're sensitive to the interest rates. And we do our best not to lower the town's interest rate across the board as rates come down. You know, the Fed has lowered rates recently. You've been at 4%, I believe, with a sweep account, and it's now at 3.75. So it did go down a little bit. With the government being shut down, you don't have to worry about it changing anytime soon.
That's what I like, a real optimist. You just made some lemonade for, you know, the lemons there.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the thing about the Fed is they need data to make those decisions. And if the government is shut down, they can't make those decisions without the information they require. I think if you watch the news, they were expecting the Fed to at least cut rates one or two more times by the end of the year. With the shutdown, it's anybody's guess. So I don't personally, and that doesn't count for anything, but I don't see it happening before the end of the year, but I could be, you know, could be wrong. But even if rates do go down, we meet with our board, it's the interest rate committee, and we discuss our partners, our customers' concerns. And we're very hesitant to lower the municipality rates, especially for the town of Bolton, because we know it's a very sensitive issue for you. You rely on that interest income, and we're not the type of bank that's just going to lower rates just for the sake of lowering them, so we don't have to pay interest.
Yeah, we're sensitive to the amount of revenue we get from our general fund, but we also have lost another source of revenue because we lowered our mill rate due to the reval that we recently went through, and it's below the cap on the interest on the mill rate for automobiles, so we don't get any refund from the state of Connecticut of that money. And last, in the current fiscal year that we're in, it cost us $750,000 that we were, you know, typically would have gotten something in that range. We don't have, and we will not have that going forward. So our other sources of revenue become that much more important in addition to looking at controlling expenses.
Sure. On the expense point, as far as controlling expenses, I took a look at the bank structure, how it's set up with the earnings credit that you earn in the account. And the town isn't paying any fees as a result of the balance maintained in the checking account with the earnings credit that's applied every month to offset those fees. So that's a good thing. You know, so you don't have to worry too much about the bank side gouging you on the fees.
Since you mentioned it, that was actually a question that had come up among our team here, was how are those fees, you know, those fees calculated? If I think we have what, $5 million we have to maintain as a balance. Yes. And if we go below that, we lose interest and we then get assessed some fees. So my question was, one is, are those fees assessed just for the days that the account is below that balance, or is it shot for the whole month? Same thing with the interest. How does that work? And then if we could get an idea of the actual magnitude of the fees.
Sure. The second example you stated is accurate. It's the fees are assessed throughout the month based on activity. And at the end of the month, there's a total earnings credit based on that average balance. And that goes to offset the total activity fees collectively of all the accounts that you have with us. And it basically is.
So basically, it's we don't lose everything for the month. It's prorated effectively for the month. Is that correct?
Correct.
The fees?
You'll see throughout the year, some months are more active than others. And you have a good cushion with that $5 million to offset those higher months when the activity spikes up. I believe October is when taxes are due, and that's when the activity starts to kick in. And I think that overflows maybe a little bit into November, maybe a little bit in September for the early birds that want to pay their taxes early. God bless. And so those few months there, I think, are the most active ones. And
Lori Bushnell, our tax collector, told me that the first month after which the first month is the one that we get about 90% of the taxes in, and then you get about 3 or 4% the next month, and then the rest of it trickles in over the balance of the year. So what you're saying is accurate.
Perfect. Perfect. I looked at the activity of the accounts before we hopped on, just to, you know, just to verify. I even looked at your budget just to see how much it was and the revenue streams that are coming in. And, you know, as far as the account structure, I think it's right on point. I remember last time we met, we had an interest rate discussion, and we were able to increase that money market rate or the sweep rate for you guys, which was great. And we're at the table anytime you want to be and have a conversation. We value the relationship. Jill and I and Alexis, we have a great rapport. Whether it's email, whether it's cell phone, whether it's texting, you know, if there's a concern, we want to resolve it as soon as possible.
Yeah. So I guess what the question that came up when we were concerned earlier, because we had the 6 referenda, as you are aware, which then delayed our receipt of tax revenue. And we were concerned, one, that we were losing interest simply because the general fund was being depleted without revenue coming in from taxes. And two, that if it did go low, we had no idea what the fees would be. So is there any way you could give me an idea of, like, let's say if we were below the whole month, what would it be? And if we were gone for like a day, what would it be? If you could just sort of like, those are the two extremes, so that we could figure, that would help us just sort of guess, you know, I shouldn't say guess, but estimate better.
There's a lot of activity in your accounts.
Yeah.
If I could share a little snapshot of one of the months here,
that would be helpful.
Okay,
because we could figure out, like, we would know after the month what the interest rate, you know, what the money was that came in for interest. But then it was like, okay, so what if it was below enough that we actually paid fees? What would those look like? Because then
Absolutely.
You have the double whammy of, yeah, no revenue, and it's an additional expense.
Sure. Let me see if I can bring your account up here for the month of, we'll do October, last October, because that's a kind of a full month of October when taxes start coming in. It's going
to
be kind of small.
Do you want to share your screen, or just want to narrate it?
Sure. I'm happy to share it. It might be hard to read because the font is kind of small and I can't supersize it, but I'll do my best. And
yeah, it's just also for the record, because sometimes people like to watch, you know, are either watching or they, you know, listen to the recording or look at that later. And so it's helpful for the public to better understand, because that's one of the requests we've gotten from, you know, our voters about providing more information.
Absolutely. Let me see if I can pull up this account here and take a peek. All right.
And again, Tyler and Amanda and Bob, just please feel free to jump in. It's not my show.
Well, I've already been asking questions that we've talked about in the past that we wanted to look into.
And the same for, you know, for Jill and Jim, anything that comes, you know, crosses your minds, feel free to jump in.
Let's take a look. All right, I'm going to pull up a PDF here. And see if I can do this. Okay. All right. This is a good one here. Let me see if I can do this here. Share the screen.
Yep, here it's coming.
Think showing up.
Yep.
All right, great. I didn't mess it up yet.
Now, I'll just say if I hadn't had my cataract surgery, I wouldn't be able to read this, but for me,
I had mine too. So this is the master account. You'll see the account number right here, the 922. Yeah. And then over here where it says the town of Bolton. So all the activity rolls up to the master account and the earnings credit is assessed. And these are all the corresponding accounts that the town has. And then down below, you'll see collectively the activity of all the accounts. And I only have one page because my system doesn't let me go to the next page for some reason.
Yeah.
But this will give you an exact idea of what the activity fees would look like if you didn't have the balances that you have right now. And these are all itemized from the monthly maintenance fees to the checks written, the checks deposited, ACH origination, credits and debits, some wire activity, lockbox service, you know, if there was cash and coin being deposited and remote deposit capture, that's when we scan the checks or you scan the checks to us directly from your office. Yeah. So you can see a little bit about, you know, what the activity is collectively with the accounts and what the fees would be if you didn't maintain those balances.
So I presume this next page has additional fees.
No, the next page would have the earnings credit that would show you that you didn't pay any fees for that particular month.
Oh, okay.
But what's the total? I can't read it.
The total looks like it is $1,641.30.
And so I can email Jill the second page. Well, she has it actually. She probably has it on her.
Okay, so that would be a typical amount for the month.
Yep. And this was in August. You know, it might have been a lower activity month, but, you know, in busier months, you know, it would be a little bit more, of course.
So what would the range be if you could just tell us offhand, typically
for the activity?
Again, I'm not holding you to an exact number. I just want to get a flavor for it so that when we are doing our planning and we see a period of worry, at least we can say, yeah, it could be up to this amount, probably, you know, not this maximum.
I was Sorry, Harry.
That's all right. Do you see this statement by any chance? It says October 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So that was last year tax time. Okay. So there should be a busier month, right? And you can see the activity for the month of October. And you see the total here is $1,594. So yeah. Compared to the $1,600 in August, October wasn't really that crazy compared to August. Now, we don't have crystal balls, but that's the best I can do as far as a comparison.
So if we just rounded it up and said that we're talking about like $2,000 in a month, we could get, you know, hit with. It's not that major because we were concerned it might be tens of thousands or something.
No, and just to clarify, that's an absolute worst case scenario in which you had no balances with us. That's what you would pay in total service charges if all of a sudden you had not a penny in our accounts. That the worst case scenario would be that you would pay because you wouldn't have any earnings credits to absorb the cost of that to net it out, and you would pay $1,600 in that one given month. And that's if you had not a single penny in the accounts.
Okay, so we're talking then, it's like I said, I rounded up to 2,000 just to say, you know, I know you guys are saying 1,500 to 1,600 a month. So if I said 2,000, it's
that's
easier to work
scenario.
With when we're planning stuff.
No,
so
that's a good, that's
very
that's a
helpful.
Good worst case scenario if it's proverbial hits the fan. A safe number, very safe number.
Agreed. And any changes do you expect on the banking side for the next year? Anything coming down the road that we should kind of prepare?
Jill, I'll defer to you on that, or Jim.
Other than we're using our ARPA money up, I don't see anything really. I think it's just the normal now that we're all the tax bills are out. I don't really see anything out of the ordinary. I don't know, Jim, if you do, but I don't.
I would concur, Joe. I don't see anything out of the ordinary either.
Super, super. What can we do better?
Okay, yeah, this has been very helpful because before we had no idea. And I'd rather, and the fears we had were way worse than what you're telling us. So, I mean, it looks like at the most that if we did the $2,000 figures, $24,000, what you're saying is probably $500 a month less than, you know, that. So it's really more like $18,000 if we had nothing in there for a year that gained interest. That would be the worst case scenario. And that means we got bigger problems than your fees.
Right. Can I just ask one question? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amanda.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
That's Alexis. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to mention very quickly, and Harry already covered this, but I just wanted to kind of reiterate that, it's anybody's guess what the Fed will do. But to your earlier point about kind of a benchmark, I really don't see a scenario in which we would cut your rate unless, and by a different amount, if not, you know, just a better scenario, then whatever the Fed, we usually go off of Fed funds. So if the Fed comes out with an announcement saying that they're cutting rates, you know, next month by 25 basis points, because you're at a, you know, quite high rate already, I can foresee, within a 30-day period that we would bring the rate down by that commensurate amount, but we wouldn't cut it by 50 basis points. In other words, it would be commensurate with the amount and the time frame. It wouldn't be like an interim cut. It would be an arbitrary cut. It would be because the Fed made an announcement.
So you said it's the federal funds rate is your benchmark.
Exactly.
Okay. That's perfect. Because that's something it's something that we keep an eye on anyway. I do for my own personal finances as well. And the rest of us here do too, for the most part. And so if we know that, then we know that the same thing is coming for us. And so you would say that you would lower the interest rate to the town commensurate to the same basis points that the Fed reduced the federal funds rate. And that would happen, say, about 30 days afterwards.
Within that time frame. I don't think we typically don't do it, you know, the day after it gets reviewed. And, you know, because you're such a strong relationship and we value the relationship so much, we review your overall relationship before we just kind of automatically make a cut. So I'm just not anticipating that it would happen overnight, because we usually senior management reviews them within, you know, maybe a 2-week time frame and then put the rate change into effect maybe a week after that. So I'm just saying it's not necessarily 30 days after, but it's within kind of that time frame. It's not immediate.
And if the Fed just went up, you would do the same thing for any increase, just out of curiosity, since they do the same. They do go up occasionally.
If we didn't, we know the phone's going to ring.
Well, that's why I'm asking, because I'm exactly explaining what happens when things go down. But I just imagine that if it is tied to the federal funds rate, we'll get the same treatment if and when that they go up.
Okay. Can I ask a question too?
Go for it.
Just on the other side, if is there anything like, obviously we are very distantly removed from the whole operation, this board is anyways. Is there anything that you might recommend or suggest that we could do that could improve things, our situation with with your bank, or just in general, fiscally dealing with our funds and
how we manage
them, how we manage,
or if there's any other investment opportunities that are appropriate for a municipality.
Thank you for rounding it up.
I just wanted to make sure.
I think keeping, your hand on the pulse, like you've been doing, is being proactive, not reactive. And that's the best. Monitoring the accounts and the activity, Jill does a great job of that. And her team does a great job of that. As far as efficiencies go, definitely you have all the products to protect your accounts. You're saving time by scanning the checks. So I think you're running very lean. Are there, some investments out there that you could explore? I'm sure, but you're in an FDIC totally insured product.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't get any safer. Which
we know we have to be conservative. So that's why I was asking. I was thinking of something along, that's also FDIC insured, like say certificates of deposit, something like that, but they'd have to be short term relatively, or depending on when we thought we'd need to access money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our short-term CD right now, our 3-month, is at 3.25%. And
wow,
you're at 3.75%. So you're liquid, FDIC insured, and making 3.75%. And I think you're in 5 stars across the board so far.
Okay. No, that's fine, because I noticed the same thing about CDs, and I get scared when you have a curve like that with the interest where the future rates are down, but it's something for us to be aware of too. And it's not unique to your bank. I just know from my own investments that it usually means there's more cuts ahead when the rates are going down on CDs and stuff out in the future. So
just curious, as far as an investment policy goes for the town, do you have one? And are you able to invest in non-FDIC insured products?
I would never have thought to do so.
I don't think you can per state statute.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. I was just curious.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question to ask, but it's something I would never consider doing, just because of, the stewardship that we have for fiduciary responsibilities that we have. I wouldn't want to do that. And if the state statutes say we can't, that's an even better reason not to do it.
Absolutely. No, knowing that you're well over the $250,000 limit and all your deposits are FDIC insured, that's as safe as you can get. And you're earning almost 4%, which is not too shabby. And, offsetting all the activity fees simultaneously and running lean, you have positive pay on your accounts, which is a fraudulent preventative software, which is another layer of protections, against people intercepting checks and altering them and unauthorized ACHs from debiting your account. So you have all the bells and whistles. And
that being said, I just want to applaud Chelsea Groton for finding that fraudulent check that happened last month. You guys did a great job of catching it and fixing it. And I'm not sure that all the board members know about this, but you did a great job, and thank you very much. We really, really appreciate that.
So now that you mentioned that teaser, what was it?
Bolton Lakes had someone intercepted a check for over $4,000. And changed it to their name, and Chelsea Groton caught it, reversed it. Yep, it was I saw a copy of it online, and I would have never thought anything about it, but they caught it.
Yeah, because I've read about that, where they just go, they have all chemical means to remove signatures and pay to and put other names in there. So it's
It looked good to me. So I just thank them for catching that and fixing it, and Bolton Lakes not losing any money.
And it was dealt with very, very, very
got her hand up.
Was dealt with very, very efficiently.
Good. No, thank you.
Jill was away, and they reached out and they worked with me to get it resolved very, very quickly. So thank you.
No, glad it worked out well. And I don't know if you remember the last It was sort of a customer service, right? The difference between a community bank and some of the big banks out there. But Jill, if you don't mind me sharing the payroll story, remember on that holiday?
No, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, the bank was closed on the holiday, but payroll had to get out to the employees. And so I got a text from Jill and I said, Jill, we're closed. And I said, but let me see if somebody can help. And Kelly Meekum, who heads up our business banking department that works with municipalities and our other business customers, actually was logged in. And I texted her and I says, hey, the town of Bolton needs to push the payroll out. Anything you can do? She goes, hold on. She logged in, pushed the payroll, texted Jill. Jill, go ahead, push it. Boom. And everybody got paid on a holiday weekend, which was great. Cool. So, I mean, that's the kind of communication. That's the kind of service that you get with Chelsea Groton. And we value you. And I hope you value us when we're able to do what we do for you.
No, and that one I personally appreciate because I get paid, you know, get paid for one of my jobs here with the town. And I also worked at a local company that will go nameless at the moment that missed two pay cycles. Our checks bounced just because they were cutting things too close with transferring, you know, money. So I do appreciate that, you know, that partnership and getting us paid. Amanda, you have your hand up.
Yeah, so I believe at a, I don't remember which meeting it was at, but at a prior meeting, someone, I think it was Jill or Jim, said that we don't do ACH payments, but it looks like there were 22 of them, and I had assumed we weren't doing ACH payments because
it's,
we didn't
have. That is not to individuals, it's to the insurance companies. That's
okay.
Big ones like that, or to... that's to get retirement or insurance. That's the only one. Don't do it to individuals.
What are our barriers to paying ACH to individuals?
When it's just, if you do it for one, you have to do it for everybody. Or if they find out and it's a lot more work, we just don't have the staff to be able to take on more as it is now. We just can't do it.
So you're saying paying via ACH is more cumbersome than paying via checks?
Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is.
For one-off expenses, sure. But for, like, reoccurring people, like contractors, I wouldn't think that's the case. And it doesn't, I don't think it costs us as much, like, because obviously we have to send, you know, postage and all that jazz with.
Yeah, but it's the checks. Time it takes for the person to do it, too. You're taking that time, you're taking their hourly rate versus a stamp and a check and an envelope.
Okay. I mean, I guess I don't know enough about how to process the ACH.
And not following either.
Yeah. Something for future.
Bob?
I just have a comment to the gentleman over at the bank. Having dealt with the larger lending institutions for a whole lot of years, I just want to say it's been an extreme pleasure to work with an institution where you can deal with individuals who actually know what's going on and actually give a damn about their client base,
yeah,
particularly small client bases. I mean, the larger institution, unless you're triple of what we have here, they could care less.
And then some.
Yeah, and then some. But just to let you know, those of us who've had to deal with those institutions really appreciate your bank and what you provide.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We have a great team. And I've been here 31 years. So it kind of shows you that, you know, I love what we do. And, you know, I get to work in a great place with great people and help customers all day. And we love it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here at 8 o'clock at night on a Zoom, you know, sharing stories and answering questions. And we love it. We absolutely love it. So it's our pleasure.
And we really appreciate the relationship with the town of Bolton. And Jill has been so wonderful to work with. And every chance we get to see her is delightful. So you have a great finance team overall, Jill and everyone on her team. So it's our pleasure to be able to work with you. And I'm glad that your experience has been positive because we certainly aim to try to do so.
Thank you, Alexis.
And I do apologize again that I'm in the car and not on, it was an event that we were supposed to be back in Hartford by 5 and we got there at 6:30. So I'm so sorry.
Not a problem. And then it's really not because you're a hoarder and have 500 cats around here. Or okay.
And I will say, I think that, you know, we've worked very closely with Jill to also, I think, optimize the structure of the accounts. And to Harry's point, it really, I think, is the best utilization of everything that we can provide in terms of services for efficiency, you know, their operational efficiency, but also the fact that you have the sweep in place in particular means that you're able to optimize your interest on a daily basis. And, you know, if you kind of decide to put certain chunks of funds aside to be interest earning, you don't have that automated functionality whereby really every extra dime and nickel that you have available outside of what's covering your, you know, service charges is automatically, you know, sweeping over to get to be interest bearing. So especially given the way that the rate is currently, I think you're well structured.
Now, cool. Amanda, do you have a question? Your hand, the on-screen hand is still up. Okay. Any other questions for Harry or Alexis?
Nope.
I'm not seeing any other questions. I do really want to thank you, and I just want to voice the same, you know, the same comments that, you know, Bob Mora did, is that it is a pleasure to work with a smaller financial institution where we matter to your, you know, to your business, and that you know, and it's, you've been very helpful to us.
Thank you.
Anytime
you want to have a follow-up conversation, we're available.
Probably want to check in with you like once a month, because our auditors made the same agreements, you know, will make himself available too. And I just think it's really good to work with, you know, all of our financial partners where we can.
Absolutely. Let us know. And if you have questions prior to any meeting that we have, we're happy to do the research and have the answers ready for you. So that you can email us anytime with questions.
I think we will take you up on your offer next, probably next quarter, when we're more into the budget process and we're trying to figure out what it looks like our interest rates will be. Because we typically, in the past, we hadn't been aware what your benchmark was. And we, you know, so we were kind of pulling numbers out of the air and guessing without really working from, what do we think the balance is going to be? And it's more of like, well, with 2% interest last year, we made this much. So maybe with 4%, we'll double it, as opposed to, you know, understanding better the fee structure and where you know, what benchmarks you use and, you know, when things change versus the federal funds rate and so forth. So I'm thinking probably, what do you guys think, like March maybe?
Ask him. I won't be here.
Oh, that's right. Bob's not going to be here, and Amanda won't. So I'll ask Tyler.
I would say, yeah, March. I think that's
probably March.
That look.
Okay. Absolutely.
So put a little reminder in your calendar, and it will definitely be on ours for those of us who will stay here and those of us who will be joining us.
Sounds now, good.
We're having elections, and some of our members' terms have expired. So there's a couple of us, like Amanda is going to be departing. I think Rhea is. Is Rhea staying? Or is she's moving on too? Or no? Amanda's like heads going around a circle.
I think the three of us are going.
She is retiring from the board.
So Rhea, Bob, and
Amanda
are retiring. So we'll have three new faces. Oh, Chris is going to retire too, I believe. So we'll see.
And Tyler's up for re-election too. And
Tyler's up for election, so we'll see what happens.
Either way, Tyler, you're going to be here.
we'll get to board the new board board the newbies with all this banking information, right?
Actually, it'd be very, very helpful for them to get oriented and have that, because when I started on here, our then banking partner, we didn't do this with. And so this is just very helpful because it would help ground them in all this this really good information that you provided us and how you partner with us. It would be very good for them.
Yeah.
Sure. Great.
Yeah.
Be happy to.
All right. So we will be seeing you again.
Sounds
and if
great.
We have any questions in between, and if we have any questions in between, we'll pass them on through Jill.
Perfect. Sure.
Thanks again.
You're welcome. Yeah. Have a great
meeting. Have a great meeting.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you all.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I am going to continue our tap dance for the Board of Education folks. And we're going to move on to item number 4 on the agenda, which is elected official and town and staff reports. And since the Board of Education folks are still at their meeting, we're going to keep going until they show up. So let's go on to, if we could, item 4B, which is our tax collection summary. And we'll just continue through the, you know, the Board of Selectmen's part of the budget until the Board of Ed shows up. So, Jill, would you be able to share your screen?
Give me one second.
Ross, I don't know if you heard you. There was a glitch in the Zoom program.
No, I did not.
Oh, she did hear you.
We can see it. Yes?
Yep.
So we're at 93.28 for current. As you can see, 0.10 promoted vehicle, and that was because they didn't go out with the rest of the real estate or personal property. And so now we're going to collect, they're going to send out supplementals twice a year, in July with the regular taxes, and then again in December. Well, December is when they'll be due. January at the latest, but they're doing them twice a year now. So that's why there's some supplemental in there now. And then prior year is at 58%.
So previously we did the supplementals once a year.
Correct.
And the reason for going to twice a year is?
I have no idea. That would be a Kara question.
Kara or Lori?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, just making a note.
No, I know.
So the receipt of the supplementals that go out should bring this closer to what we normally have at the end of a collection period.
The information that we received, it looked like it was going to be higher, but I'm a little leery with the numbers that we were given. I wasn't really feeling warm and fuzzy about them. And I honestly can't remember what she gave us now. It was, Ross and I and Lori all met with Kara, and it was kind of confusing, the numbers that she gave us. And then they said they weren't going to send them out right away. They ended up sending them with the personal property and motor vehicles. But I really don't know what the number is for the total.
Yeah.
So I would just add, don't forget, we have what we're collecting right now is motor vehicle, personal property, and the supplemental real estate from right. the difference between the temporary mill rate that we set and the actual.
There's a lot.
Correct.
Yeah. No, and I was just, the reason I was just curious is why the change from one supplemental to two, just because of any potential impacts on interest income, depending on, you know, when you collect.
I think it'll help us. It will help.
Right. You'll actually have the opportunity to collect more money and interest this way.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's my concern, because when we talk about going to two tax bills per year, then we're looking at lost interest. So I was wondering why, if that's the case with that if you went to two for supplemental, why you would gain interest as opposed to losing interest.
Because you're getting those taxes twice a year instead of once a year.
Getting them sooner. Getting those dollars.
So if somebody, right. So if somebody had a sub, you know, if they bought a new car, traded in their old car, right? So that you're collecting that every 6 months now instead of once a year. And so your potential income is increased.
Okay, because then that explains it then. So you're actually getting an opportunity to have income at the beginning of the fiscal year that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So you're getting more interest on that.
Correct.
And otherwise you would have waited till the end of the year and lost the interest on it.
Right. And I think that the other piece of this is that, you know, collaboration between the assessor and the tax collector's office, they felt that this was going to be easier for them as well, because one of those collection periods is not a normal collection period. So it just would mean, you know, it's easier to do at that point.
Okay. Nope, that is fine, because then that explains it. Okay, we can, any questions about tax collections?
Wow.
Then we can move on to next one. It's our revenue statement. So we are, and this is as of September 30. So it's really the first quarter of our fiscal year then.
Actually, we got both. Final of 2025. As I read the unaudited 2025, it says we're carrying forward just under 600,000 of unexpended funds to next year. Is that right?
I'm sorry. What was that?
I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at the other sheet.
That's consistent with the report that Joe gave you at the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm
but putting, not that's for a, this year. That's for next.
Right, that's for next.
For 27.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah. I'm looking at this goal. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Any questions? Tyler, Amanda, can't see you on the screen at the moment. All right, I guess we can move on.
You want to move on to expenditures?
Unless there's any questions that you can answer about Board of Ed, you know, on here, any of their grants, et cetera.
I cannot answer.
Then we can move on. This is our last year unaudited.
Yes.
Yeah, so now we've moved on to our expenses, correct?
Yes. And the expenses for September. And I don't know if Jim has anything to add.
I mean, nothing, you know, this is something that we look at carefully, as you know, on a monthly basis, and nothing's jumping out as an area of concern at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of early in our year that, you know, I would hope that we wouldn't have any concerns at the moment. That would be kind of scary.
Yeah, but I'm going to say when we meet again next month, you'll see a blip in the election spending because we'll have the 14 days of early voting plus all the election activities. You know, right. We're having, you know, the other work then that starts in the beginning of November. We've got the elections and the early voting runs about $1,000 a day, and that's not including the cost of ballots. And we have 14 days of that. So we'll see some more spending there.
Yeah, I mean, although it'll look like an anomaly, we expect it. So, you know, it's not going to put up a red flag for us.
Yeah, that's why I'm just bringing it up, because otherwise it'll look like, geez, where did all this happen from? And you'll see quite a bit of spending, and you'll see even more in November. Because I mentioned at the three board meeting that we have probably a pretty good high risk of having to do a recount, which means up to two days probably of dragging everybody who worked on the election back to go through all the ballots by hand, see if there's any questionable, hand count the ones that have any question that are questionable, feed the rest through the machine, and then add up the total and see if the same people won or lost. And that's required if there's like either a half of 1% of votes cast or 20 ballots or fewer difference between candidates. So there's a pretty good chance of that with all the candidates.
It's just 20 difference. Yeah. You'd have to have a recount.
Yeah.
That new?
No.
Oh.
We went over that. The Secretary of State has a monthly call with the registrars, and that was one of the topics that came up on the meeting was what triggers a recount. Hmm. And that's, you know, per state statute.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get close to 20.
Very easy to do that. It's different for a referendum. They don't care about the 20, but for, you know, a municipal election, they care about the 20%, 20 vote difference. Mm-hmm. So more to come on that, but expect a blip in the next couple of weeks in our, you know, registrar's spending elections department.
Ross, can a candidate waive the recount requirement?
Oh, yeah. If they want to just say it, they certainly can concede. And then you don't have to worry about it. And if it comes out as a tie still, I believe that you have the option of flipping a coin.
Yep. We've kept that.
Wow. I think I heard that the town clerk has a special coin for flipping for this. It's got two heads on it, if I recall correctly. Or two tails, one or the other.
Yeah. Right. Whatever it is.
But yeah. All right. Any questions? Then I guess we can move on. Trying to also be respectful of Amanda's bedtime. She's like gotta be off by 9 o'clock, she told me. I think we'd all like to be done by 9 o'clock as well.
The transfers that were done in September.
Yeah.
They're all pretty small.
Yep. And just your end of the month balances.
Yeah.
And when did you say that we went to 3.75%? Was that last month or this month?
Well, that was news to me. So, Mom, I'm going to have to look at the bank statements because I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, so let's check.
September looked pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's our next report.
Yeah, but I've had 4% because I don't know when the 3.75 happened. You said that was news to me.
Yep. It's a small amount, but
to the point you just made, Jill, that's feedback we should give them, is that they should be giving us a heads up when they're, like, an email to Jim and you, and ideally Rodney, when they're going to lower the rate so that we know that it's happening.
Yeah, it's basically, they should give us a 1 week heads up.
You took the word out of my agenda.
Sorry, Jim, I couldn't understand what you're saying.
Amanda took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, because they have much more reason to follow the federal funds rate changes than most of us do. Right. So, yeah. Well, so far, it looks like we got a little bit of a penalty because that 54,000 happened a couple months late because of the extra the 6 referenda that we did.
So I think what we estimated probably pretty close to where you're going to be, maybe even better. I think what did we say around 320, 350?
I'm trying to remember what, let's go look for revenue.
Wasn't that 375?
I think it was 375.
Okay. We should be pretty close.
Because we wanted to be conservative with revenue.
We should be good.
It's one of those, it's better to underestimate the revenue and overestimate the expenses slightly.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, it looks like the Board of Ed's not going to make it.
So do anything else, Jim, you wanted to go over, or anybody else from Board of Selectmen, just because we have other on here?
Nothing from me.
Then we can go on to ongoing business and communication. And I know, Amanda, this is a topic. What?
So I talked to Stephen. He's going to be at our building next week. He said that he wouldn't, if people wanted to come over and meet with him and ask questions. Now, if you're asking questions about what's in the financials, if you don't get them to him ahead of time, he won't probably be able to answer them completely, but he's going to be available if someone wants to come and see him next week. But,
What days?
He's going to be there Monday through Thursday. He leaves early on Fridays to go home.
Okay, but it'll be all week. Okay.
Yep. So if we can give him a heads up that you're coming, I just don't want. It'd be nice if we can give him a heads up. Now, the only problem is that you might have to email Ross if you're going to come, because I have jury duty on Monday, and if I get picked, I don't know when I'll be back. So I just want, but he did say that he would meet with people if they wanted to next week, if they wanted to drop by.
And you can come by and watch early voting, or you can even come by and vote early too, just so we have something to do. We have no idea how many people are going to show up. And we're trying to get all of our early, we'll have all of our early voting supplies out of there, because we're using that area to store stuff that doesn't fit now because of the new voting machines that we got. We got 8 of them.
8.
And we're going to be using 5 of them for this upcoming election. Again, the wonders of the state and our legislature at work, but whatever. Okay, so I put down Stephen will be there. This will be Monday through Thursday next week, which is the 20th through the 23rd, if I'm doing my math correctly. Yeah, thank you for, you know, that reminder, Jill, because I know we talked about it. We're going to try not to, hopefully early voting won't, you know, interfere with any other stuff that goes on over there. Again, I just don't, we just have no idea how many people are going to show up.
Yeah. First time, who knows?
It's a lot for the presidential one. There's 100 a day.
Okay.
But I don't know if they'll be that interested in the municipal election, particularly when, you know, we're not having first selectmen up and so right. forth. But we'll see. Learning experience.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else then before we go on to other the ongoing business? Then communications. I'll start out by throwing out what did folks think about the three board meeting, because that was another thing that we were doing. We got some feedback from the folks who showed up there, and also any feedback from the coffee and conversation.
I thought it was productive. Both of them, the coffee and conversation. I thought was very productive with the, you know, having the townspeople actually, you know, express their concerns and ask questions. And as for the three board meeting, that was my first time participating in that. So that was kind of like a little bit of a learning experience for me there. But yeah, I think continued, you know, engagement with the public is just only gonna help our situation and our transparency, and, you know, show the people that we're really trying to be good stewards of taxpayer money. So I would like to continue that, and maybe even kind of have like a summarization. Do we already do that? Is it a recorded like meeting? And is there like a summary of it, or like minutes from the coffee and conversation?
I couldn't find anything for the coffee and conversation.
Okay.
So I don't know if we did record them, because it was a public meeting.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we can just check on that.
We do not do minutes for the coffee and conversation. It's not a quorum of any board. You know, and it's designed that way. What I can share with you is after the three board meeting, I can't remember if it was after the three board meeting or after the coffee and conversation meeting, but I did have a conversation with both Rodney and Dave Caruso. And one of the things that we are considering is during the budget season is having those meetings monthly just before the finance committee meeting. You know, we can really, you know, communicate because we're getting such a good turnout from the public. I think we want to capitalize on the opportunity to be able to share information with the public about our budget and budget process.
Yeah. And David had said the same thing, and he's really very interested in participating, helping getting the message out. And he's got a lot of information to answer folks when they ask, what are you looking at to try to do things differently? I thought he did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he also had that same conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
Because he's been very consistent in the same message when he and I talked.
That was going to be my comment on the three board meeting. He was one of the more productive ones that I've been a part of. And very informative. It was a great back and forth. And particularly, I enjoy that type of meeting. But also, you go away from a meeting, actually, you've learned something that's important about how one of the other boards operates and what they're doing. And I think one of the key things too that was addressed at that meeting was important. What are we doing with the school system to help deal with expenses and student population? And it was encouraging to hear what they're planning and what they're actually doing.
Even just that he's looked at some of the concerns that people have, like the empty buses, especially with all the parents coming out of the school, and that he actually, you know, proactively looked at that, knowing that that was stuff that people are concerned about.
Yeah.
whether, you know, it turned out it didn't necessarily save anything,
no,
but it, you know, any of the options, but it was just refreshing to have him just say, yeah, I looked at that and here's what we found and how we looked at it and so forth. Amanda, anything from you? You're still there?
I'm here. No, I think I said my piece at the three board meeting.
Yeah, I was also going to again express my thanks to Chris Davies too for that analysis that he put together, because that's the first time that I have seen that information, you know, put together in that way over all those years. And I just like the fact that, you know, it's like, you know, I believe very much the same thing you did, Amanda, that when you get a report like that, the data doesn't necessarily give answers. It's like questions waiting to be answered and discussed so that you can tease out what the, you know, what the facts really mean.
Right.
And that, you know, and that's, you know, and what do you do about it? Because sometimes there's a whole, there's a range of solutions that are not necessarily mutually exclusive. So I found it, you know, valuable.
And, you know, if I may,
yeah,
one of the things that was brought out that really impacts this board on there is the importance of trying to have a the emergency fund at a level that's meaningful in allowing the various boards to then actually be more careful in their budgeting process. Because if you don't have that, any movement in their budgets,
I agree with you. I wouldn't use the word have them be more careful, because they are. They're putting the contingency in their budgets instead of pooling it. And so you have, it's larger than if you pooled it.
Right. And if you were able to put a large amount in there, okay, you could, instead of having, let's just say 150 here, 150 there, which is 300, you can have a 200 amount in there. So it's not all going to hit one or the other.
And we just have to look into what, you know, what rules govern what you can use, use those funding for, and what are the conditions that trigger.
It's a good thought for your next board to go forward with. But it's always the bottom, the issue, though, that arises at the end, the conundrum is when your budget fails, what gets hit? That one has, when it was high, that had been one of the.
Yeah, and that, you know, and that gets true. If you let's say you put the maximum in, which I think is like 2.6%, then if you put that maximum in, if you drop the budget, the contingency automatically has to get cut so that it doesn't exceed the maximum that's in our charter.
Anyway, that's the future.
Yeah,
that you'll be a part of.
So we'll see. So any other things? I think this is just really important, because I would like to do what we can to avoid having this many referenda again.
Right.
And also, because it's expensive, both, you know, both emotionally and financially for everybody who's involved with it, you know, the taxpayers as well. You know, as, you know, town staff and so forth. So anybody have any other questions? Because I want to just share my screen briefly, because the thing, this is also related to the conversations that we've been having where folks want to have more. Man, you see, somebody just texted me. Is it our board of ed? No, it's my buddies who want to do happy hours. So never mind.
So you better go for it.
Yeah, no, that's for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, there's a question that keeps, you know, folks want to have more transparency. And I've been frustrated with some of the tools that we have, especially like I was mentioning early, like the way we try to guess how much interest we're going to have. And so what I did was put together a calculator based on, you know, models that I've used in the past for work. I had Ashley Phelan take a look at it, since she's a CPA, and she said the general approach, you know, was sound. So I'm going to share my screen with Zoom, and this, the tool that I came up with will help us when we want to, instead of pulling numbers out of the air, we can just document the assumptions that we make. What do we think we're going to get in interest rates? Does this interest rate hold for the whole year or part of the year? And, you know, we can, right now I have it just to cover interest on the revenue that we get, assuming that the revenue comes in, you know, the middle of the month. I'm splitting the difference because you can assume it comes in at the beginning of the month, or you can assume it comes in the end. I pick the middle because you won't be off more than 50% that way. Whereas if you pick the beginning or the end of the month, you can be off like 100%. So, you know, stuff like that that I did, and it's only for the revenue that comes in for the month. It doesn't care about the balance in the general fund, because I really didn't know what that average typically is, because we have the total amount of that's in the fund at any moment is presented to the board. But, you know, that includes the revenue of the month. It also includes our, you know, 5 million balance that we have to have in, and then the difference between that. And then you also have Jill is moving monies around to use for operating expenses. So they move out of a taxable interest-bearing account into a non-interest-bearing account. And so that needs, you know, a little bit more work. And then the other thing that this let me do was to, so let me share my screen if I can find Zoom on here. And come on, there we go. So let me share. I'm just going to do this. The other thing too is just let me just take a swag at if we went to two tax collections a year versus one, what would the impact be on the interest just on the revenue that we bring in by month? And so what I did with all of this was I took all of our financial reports from the last year and plug them into an Excel spreadsheet, because what we typically get are PDFs. You can't manipulate them. So I went through and took all of our, you know, basically did the reports like we looked at tonight with Jill, took the ones for expenses, took the ones for revenue, their running total. So I used that to, you know, collect, you know, to calculate what was the actual amount that came in that month. And so doing that and you plugging in the interest rate, and again, it's not going to match 100%, you know, what we actually did. One, because, you know, what we got for interest, one, because I'm not taking into account, you know, that other, I'm only looking at the revenue. I'm not looking at the existing balance in the general fund. But what you can do with this is if we, this is our spending pattern, you know, this is our revenue pattern over here. Typically, you know, last year, with one payment per month, the bulk of our revenue comes in the first month, a little bit more of the second month. And then the rest of it sort of comes in, you know, gradually over the remainder of the year. And then our expenses, again, this is only based on last year. So again, if I wanted to refine this, we'd have to go back and look at some previous years and do averages, you know, of those. Mm-hmm. So again, this is just looking at last year. If we did it the way we did on the revenues that come in with one, you know, payment of taxes per year, you'd get about $458,000 worth of interest just on the revenues that come in. If you switched over to two per year, and again, I'm following the same basic pattern where you get the bulk of it in at the beginning when you first collection is due, and then it tails off, and then you get the second collection, you lose almost $225,000 worth of interest, assuming that we were using the 4%. Again, is this 100%? No, but it's something that you can go back to and reference and see over time how accurate this is, and it's better than our past discussions where you just sit around and say, well, what if it's this? We made this much amount of interest last year. Maybe we guess it's less. So this is also still a certain amount of subjectivity, but it does record, you know, what our assumptions were. And again, it's easy enough to play with it. Do you think the total, the patterns are different for expenses coming up? Are we going to spend at a different rate per month? Same thing with revenue. Are you going to think it's going to come in the same way? You just change it. You play around with it. And as long as these totals for revenue add up to 100% and expenses add up to 100%, then you have a way to record, you know, what our assumptions were, you know, what our, you know, what went into our estimates for, you know, interest income. So basically, I think this is something that folks would need to know, that if you do go to two tax payments per year, if you're in a high interest, you know, year, yield year, you lose a substantial chunk of money. And if you don't want to give up the services that that money brings in, the mill rate has to go up by that enough to cover that loss of interest revenue if you want to keep our services the same. So there's a cost to the convenience of paying twice, you know, a year. And I think it's just something that if the taxpayers want to do that, you know, that's their option. If we were to ask and did a referendum on it, say, or however we got their input, they just need to be informed that here your convenience has a cost to it. If you want to keep the level of services the same, the mill rate's going to go up by whatever, which we could also, you know, take a swag at too, because we know what the grand list is, and you know what you have to do in mills to bring in like $250,000. So it's something that it makes it much more concrete. And, you know, with the understanding that this is a refined way of making our best guess. It will never be 100%, but you can feel pretty confident it's going to be plus or minus. I think with something like this, it's going to be within, you know, plus or minus 10%, 15%, something like that, which is a much more educated way of, you know, making a guess, and you can explain it to people and have a record of it, which we haven't really been doing in the past. So again, I just throw it out there for, you know, thoughts. It's something that we can try playing around with when we have that discussion next March. And if folks, if the topic comes up at our, you know, next coffee and conversation, I would feel comfortable with explaining that, yeah, here's what it looks like last. If you did last fiscal year over again with two payments, this is kind of how it would have gone. Would you guys be happy with that? And either having the mill rate go up for the convenience or giving up some substantial services for $200,000.
Yeah. And next year, more than likely, you'll see another couple of chances, a couple more drops in the basis.
Yeah.
So that the potential impact
lowers.
Shrinks. So yeah. The differential shrinks. So I mentioned that because it could provide an opportunity to seriously look into.
Yeah, because if it's a low interest paying year, then they know it's not going to have much of an impact. But then you still tell them that when the interest rates go up, it will have more.
It will have more of an impact. It's just the way it is. But
but it's a way to explain it and give a here's a number.
It does, and I think this very easily explains basics, and the only thing you have to add in is what's the additional expense of dealing with those checks that come in a second time. You do it anyways. It's a matter of you're going to do more of it.
Yeah, that I did not account
for.
No,
but still, it's not catastrophic. The number,
no,
that's an easy number. People will be able to provide you with that to have something to look at. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Ross.
Yeah.
So in this, did you account for the Board of Ed's expenditures also? And the problem too is that. Pardon.
Yeah, I use the actual expenses that you provide and the Board of Ed provides.
But it also includes grants that we don't give you expenditures on, both Board of Ed and the town. So you have the Board of Ed AP and payroll account, town AP and payroll account, and then you have the Board of Ed's grant account that zeroes out into the general fund. And all of our grant money is in the general fund too. So
I use all the figures that you provide us every month.
And we don't provide you expenditures for grants. And they are in there.
So are the expenditures for grants in the general expenditures lines?
Yes, it's in the no, it's not in the general expenditure lines. It's in the general fund, but they're not. We don't report on the expenses for the town or the Board of Ed on a monthly basis.
So what you're saying is we get grant money in and you don't report on the expenses against the grant money.
Correct. But see, here the other problem is you don't always get the money ahead of time. And we have to then go back to the state and send them receipts for some of the grants. Some of them we do. Same with the Board of Ed.
So then basically the grants come in, we don't report the expenses against them, but they eventually go away. So the interest that I'm reporting on them is correct, because that's part where they're part of the general fund.
Well, no, because we could have like town aid roads. We could have a sum of money in there for a while and then we could use it all up. Or Board of Ed, sometimes they can't get the money in the general fund in time, and they're using the money because Choice doesn't pay until later in the year. So once they use what was left over from the prior year, they're waiting for Choice money to come in. There's expenditures that there isn't necessarily money, and that's just the way Choice is.
So if I understand it, if I may.
Yeah.
I understand it. What it means is, or I think it means is, this revenue that comes in that we deposit, we may not get it. We may get it if it were split in half. We may get it in the first part. We may get it in the second part. So if we get it in the second part, you're making an interest on the second part instead of the first part.
And so I was just going. I showed it whenever it was reported in our monthly reports. Right. If it hadn't come in yet, it didn't show up. So I just used whatever was there. I took the rolling total. You know, I used particularly a running total still.
But so nothing shows. We don't report on the revenue of all the grants. Just some of it. We don't. There's a lot that we don't report on.
But the bottom line is what we've learned. What we roughly earned in interest is there, and no matter how these and how they come in and how they move, that amount should remain basically similar, just dependent upon what the interest rate is, right? And if you split it, there's going to be you'll be some loss, but it's just a matter of how big a number that's going to be, how low a number is. And that's something that can be worked out in the future, but this gives you at least a concept to work off of. And you can plug in the data. You can put additional data in to modify this, to adjust for all of this.
Yeah.
But you have to have, like,
I just wanted a starting place so we can have this discussion. It's like Chris Davies bringing up all the figures that he did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something, Jill, you and I can sit down with. We can see what we can do to tweak this or, you know, whatever. Because I understand fully that this is my best guess at it. And it's a way to try to make it concrete. And we kept talking about this for months and nothing happened. So I wanted to put something down so that we could just have a fact-based conversation on it. And I have no pride in authorship. And I'm fine with, you know, whatever fixes need to be made. And I see Amanda's hand is floating in midair over the screen.
Thanks. Yeah. It not related to this chart, but wanting to understand, Jill, why those expenses against grants are not reported out to the boards.
It's never been reported to the boards. Why? Well, I don't know. It's never been reported because it's not, I don't know. It's not.
I mean, I guess, and the reason I ask, right, is because we're being accused by the public of not being transparent, and they think there's this money that exists that, you know, we're not seeing. And so to a certain extent, that's true, is what you're saying. And I'm not saying it's like, there's no intent behind it, right? I'm not saying that. I'm just.
No, and I'm glad you brought it up.
You can't just run a quick report to get all the expenditures for the grants. It's just not, because they're all different fund stuff. Because they're all different funds. You can't, it's just not that
But easy. You can run a P&L with multiple different funds in it. Like you should be able to roll it all up into one report.
Nope. I'm sorry.
My agency has like hundreds of grants, and I can get a report for every expense, for every revenue, for every single fund that exists for our agency. It's possible. And I think I won't be here for the future board, but the future board needs to look at this so that everything is available to the public.
And I'm glad that we had this conversation, because just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean that we have to continue doing it that way. It's a good question to ask. Maybe we do need to. I don't know the answer, but I think we can't just say that we've always done it this way is not a good enough answer, especially for the public with their concerns that they have now.
Can you do it on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis? You know, it doesn't have to be, this is something you don't have to know on a weekly
basis. And we don't need to resolve it tonight, but it's something that I wasn't
aware of. Even on an annual basis is better than on no basis, right? Like,
I, you know, it's one of those things. I brought this up just, you know, so we can have this discussion same way Chris did. And it's good to have it, because I didn't realize we didn't track all that.
So now you've got this data for the next board to go forward.
Yeah.
You've got more stuff to talk about. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I do have a question for you, Jill. And I just want to share my screen one more time.
Ross, while you're working on that, I do want to make just one quick comment.
Yeah.
We do track our spending very carefully. I can ask Jill at any point in time, you know, what we have spent on a grant and what we have for a balance. So it's not that we don't track it. I think what she's trying to explain is she currently does not have an easy mechanism for reporting all of the grants in a simple format. It would have to, you know, right now, I think with the accounting tools she has available to her, and, you know, she would have to weigh in on this, is it's not as simple as just pushing a few keystrokes on the computer and getting a report for all of the grants. So we have to track our expenses very, very carefully. And when we go to grant closeout, you know, we have to be able to demonstrate all of that. So it's not like,
oh, yeah.
Right. Not, I don't doubt that. That was not, yeah, I absolutely know that.
Yeah. And the, you know, the other thing I want to stress that Jill said is, you know, we don't get all of our grant money up front. Some of the grants that we have received, we have to spend money out of our general fund to get the work done and put in for reimbursements. You know, so I think, you know, there's two different scenarios that come into play here. And we can't forget that, you know, that has an impact on our bottom line and our interest bearing, you know, for those, you know, those months when we start, you know, making those expenditures.
Yeah. And I think it's good to keep this conversation going, because I know the public has trouble understanding how we move things around. And I am having trouble understanding it. I'm not getting a good mental picture from our discussion. So I think it's something to continue, you know, talking about. We're not going to solve it tonight. I don't want to even try to get into that. But I do have one last thing I want to share, and I have a question for you, Jill. And again, I don't know if, you know, you have an answer for it. So hold on, wait for this to come up. Doesn't seem to want to do anything. It stopped on its own previously. It doesn't seem to want to share, but I will ask you the question, Jill, and I can send you the document. I'm looking at again last year for our tax revenue, not tax revenue. Yeah, it's actually our total revenue. And I'm looking at the rolling total. And again, this is off the reports that you give us. And the rolling total for November of 2024 dropped from the total from November to December, dropped over $600,000. And I don't recall that we discussed it. So we went from the running total in November being 19,736,762 dollars in November to 19,135,912. And then we did the same thing from January to February. The running total and tax revenue dropped by almost $250,000. And I look back over the minutes, we did not discuss this, you know, at our meeting. So I'm not sure what happened. And I don't want to put you on the spot for it, but I just know we didn't talk about it. And maybe if you could help us understand how that adjustment happened, because we didn't talk about it per the meeting minutes.
So it went down from one year to the next. I'm trying to understand, but again, you got to, I'm not the tax collector. I don't know if adjustments were made. I mean, this would be more of a question for, if we're talking tax collection, it's more of a question for Kara and Lori. I don't know.
Well, it was incorporated into the report that you give for overall revenue. So I presume that you reviewed it and that you would have noticed something like a drop, an adjustment in the running total of revenue. So that's why I am asking you.
I would not. Collection is collection. I didn't look back. Total?
And again, I never would have caught this if I hadn't gone through this activity, because we typically don't review the difference from, you know, last month to this month. But this just jumped out at me as like, this is almost like $850,000 that was reduced in the, you know, in the tax revenue without explanation from anybody.
Again, I'm not the tax collector or the assessor, and those would be the two people that would be the ones to ask. I could not tell you why there was a reduction in tax collection.
Okay.
I have no way of knowing.
I will ask them. I will just pass on that. I thought you might be interested in something when it happens like that, since you're the CFO, but I will ask Lori instead.
Number seven.
Okay, number seven is adjournment.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. It looks like it's passed by all members present, voting present. Thank you. Let me go and end the meeting.